Today we're learning Kriyat Yud-Gimel. We're going to start at the Mishnah, Kama Yasheh. Okay, we were talking before about, in the previous Mishnah, about having this Chatzi Zayed and the Chatzi Zayed. That's where we ended yesterday. You ate a half a Zayed of Chelev, for example, or Dam, or whatever it might be, and then another half a Zayed. So what do we say? They join together. The question is, what period of time are you eating these two Chatzi Zayetim that they can still combine? If you know, shouldn't say this, but I always try to say, forget about what you know, reality. But generally what we say when we talk about eating something that's asur to eat, right? It's not only that there's a shear of how much you need to eat in order to be chayav, but it's also in what time frame you eat it. Or likewise, if you need a saber katamazon, so you need to have eaten a certain amount of food in a certain amount of time. It's not just how much you eat, it's within what time frame. Generally, we say, it's what we call bechdechila pras. I'll give you a little background, even though we're going to see in the Mishnah, it's actually a subject of debate here. Bechdechila pras means the amount of time it would take you to eat a half a loaf of bread. Pras always means half. So pras is half a loaf of bread. It's called bechdechila pras. How much it takes to eat half a loaf of bread, which, of course, go figure what the average person, how long it takes them to eat half a loaf of bread, how big the loaf is, it's not so clear. Obviously, they must have had standard-sized loaves, and they knew what they were talking about. So, of course, there's a debate. How much this is? Is it 4 minutes? Is it 9 minutes? Is it, you know, what is it exactly? We generally paskin it's 9 minutes. Okay, so we're going to learn about the after the press, but today we're going to see also another option. So, kama yesheba ochalim. So, Rabbi Meir is going to say, ki'ilo ochel klayot, divrei Rabbi Meir. Now, what does it mean, eating klayot? Imagine, right, people sitting around eating garinim. How long does it take them to eat a kazayit of garinim? A long time, right? They have to peel them. They sit around. They eat them slowly. And what else is unique about it? Number one, it takes a long time. Number two, they're constantly eating. As opposed to, you know, you might eat something and then take a break and then you might eat it again. So therefore, the Gemara is going to ask, is Rabbi Meir machmir or mekel? Is he saying you have to be constantly eating, like you eat klayot? Or is he saying it can take a much longer time period and you're still going to be chayav? So one would be lakula, one would be lachumer, right? It would be lakula if you say you can't take a break, because as soon as you take a break, even if it's the chdechila pras, you start eating minute number one, then minute number two you continue eating, minute number three you stop and you go into the other room for a minute, and then you come back. So he might say, oh, they're not mitzaref, because that's not like eating klayot where you just continually eat them. Alternatively, he's saying, no. It's not so much that. It's just if you keep your meal going a very long time, then you're still going to be chayav. And there he's going l'chumr. So there's a question, is he going l'kul or l'chumr? Chachamim omrim ad sheyashem itchila v'atzof kidei achila pras chayav. So chachamim say, until he waits, in other words, meaning it has to be within the time frame of kidei achila pras, which we'll say for purposes of explanation, let's say about 9 minutes. Again, the amount of time it takes him to eat a half a loaf of bread, he'll be chayav. Now, we're going to talk about something else. There's something called tum'at gviya. What does that mean? It means that if you eat tummy food, okay, you eat items that are impure, if you eat a shi'ur of, now here the shi'urim are different. It's usually a kazayit, even though there are different shi'urim for different things. But if you eat a half of a pras, so now we're getting to a quarter of a loaf of bread, okay, the shiur for eating is a quarter of a loaf of bread, you eat that, you're going to become tameh called tumat gviya. We say your body is tameh. Now, what level is your body tameh? Remember, we've learned there's avatuma, rishon latuma, sheni latuma. You're going to be a sheni. What does that mean? It means, really, it doesn't have so many ramifications, really only for truma and kodshim. It means that you can't eat truma and kodshim while you're eating this food. You become tameh tumat gviya. Now, what's the concern? Why is this? It's not actually a do'oraita tumah, but the rabbis were concerned, maybe you'll remember this, we learned it in the past, that maybe you'll drink at the same time that you're eating, especially, that's why the shear is a larger amount, because a small amount, you don't really need to drink, but you might need to drink to get the food down. And if you're a Kohen, and you might drink truma, wine, then you're going to end up having truma and become tameh in your mouth while you're eating this food, okay? And likewise, if you're drinking, you might eat food at the same time, and we don't want it mixing in your mouth, and therefore the rabbis will go there, that if you drink or eat, so the drinking is the same regular shear of drinking, it's a ravit, right, a quarter of a loaf, and for the eating, it's a quarter of a loaf. So now, again, the question is, So now it's a time frame issue again. So achal ochalim tmeim v'shatam mashkim tmeim. If you're eating food that's tmei or mashkim that are tmeim drinks, or shatar revi'i yayin v'nechnas l'migdash. Here we get into a different issue. You're drinking a revi'i of yayin, meaning you're getting a little drunk, and then you go into the mikdash, and it says the kohanim are not allowed to go drunk into the mikdash. We'll get back to this whole drunk thing later today. V'shaha kedechi lapras chayav. Again, if you did this amount and you ate it within a particular time frame, you're going to be considered tamei tumat kviyah. And if you drank wine of that amount, then you're not going to be able to go into the mikdash if you're a kohen. Obviously, it's only relevant to a kohen. Rabbi Elazar Omer, im pasakba o im natam b'mayim koshu patur. He's now talking about the going into the mikdash drunk. He says, if you stop drinking in the middle, he says, what's the general way people, you drink shots, right? You drink them all at once. So he says, if you drink the wine slower, not all in one shot, that's not wine that's going to get you drunk. Or if you add water to it, you dilute it, it's also not going to get you drunk. Okay? Now, didn't they dilute all their water, all their wine? I assume what they mean is, I'm guessing, that there was a certain measurement of diluting. That's what we call yayin. And then any water in addition to that, it's interesting, it even says kol shehu, right? You think, were they measuring exactly? But he means once your wine is ready and then you add some water to it already, we're going to also get back to this because it's not necessarily in every situation. Okay, so Gemara's first question, Ibayahu, Rabbi Meir lechumer kamar o lekula kamar? When Rabbi Meir said that it's like the shear for eating is not bechdeachti laprasin or bichayav, but if you eat your two kizetim, the way somebody eats their nuts or their roasted stuff, then you're going to be chayav. Is he being machmir? Is he being mekel? As I explained before. So here we'll see it inside. Lechumer kamar b'hachi katani. Here's option number one. Is he going lechumer? And this is how you read the Mishnah. In other words, the way you would eat them all day long, meaning if you ate a chatzizayit and you continued slowly eating small amount, and event, you know, but you took it all day long, you didn't eat it in the amount of time it took to eat half a loaf of bread, but it took you much longer. Right? And even though you still have, it's yoter michte achila pras, more than those 9 minutes, kevan demashche achilte mechayev. Okay, some people sit around and eat meals for a very long time, right? You're sitting in a coffee shop and you're eating a little and a little and a little, as long as you're still kind of within that. I mean, it's hard to imagine. You could eat a chatzizai and another chatzizai in such a long time frame, but you could imagine it would be more than 9 minutes, theoretically. So as long as you're still continuing that eating, then you're mechayev, meaning he's more machmir. And then, Amru le Rabbanan come and respond, no, de'ad shir shebachdech leprasu dechayav. Yoter mechde achila pras patur. No, it's only within that certain amount of time. So then, chachamim remeka. O dilma, or do we say no, lekula kamar. Tahachi katani, what he's saying is, ki'ilu ochel klayot, v'hu delo ifsik bene bene. And that's where he takes no breaks. You're continually eating those garyanim. Aval de ifsik bene bene, but if you take a break, apagav de mitchila batzav v'chde achila pras, even though it's all within 9 minutes, still, since you took a break, you're patur, so he's meka. And then Rabbanan's response, according to this reading, would be, and they say, no, we don't care if he takes a break, right? You start eating, this happens to me all the time, right? And then you get distracted, you go take care of something else, and then you come back to your food. If you did that, you ate a chatzizayit then, you took a little break, that's not going to be mitzvah. Okay, and then, so then, according to that, right, Rabbanan are going to say, no, I don't care that you took a break. Rabbanan are going to say, you're chayav, as long as the total amount is under 9 minutes, you're good. You know, well, you're not good, you're chayav. Okay, it's bad. So they're more machmir. So now what do they say? Well, let's learn it, in fact, from the Lashon of the Mishnah. The way Chachamim respond to Rabbi Meir is going to be indicative of what they hold. And whether Chachamim are more mekel or more machmir, Rabbi Meir is more machmir or more mekel. Tashma, let's look for him. Chachamim omrim, ad sheyesh he bechdei achila pras mitchila vad sof. They use the words right, until you wait, you do it with bechdei achila pras. So iamar bishlama Rabbi Meir lechumra, if Rabbi Meir is machmir, and then he's saying, right, you could, all day you'll still be chayav. Hainu dekatane, that's why chachamim say in that lashon, ad sheyesh he, ad deshayi dilei kedei achila pras. Ad sheyesh he means, no, you're only chayav if you wait only, right, if you do it only within 9 minutes, only then you'll be chayav. And that's the Lashon Ad. So it sounds like Rabbi Meir is actually machmir, and chachamim are meikah. But if you try to read it the other way, Rabbi Meir lekula, chachamim omrim im shaham ibayle. It shouldn't say ad sheyeshe. It should, if he's meikel, then they should say, no, if he waited b'chdei pras, then you're going to be chayav. In other words, right, he's going to be basically coming and being more machmir, so we should say im shaha, not ad sheyeshe. Because ad sheyeshe sounds like, no, only if yeshe will you be chayav. And therefore, he should be coming, if he's coming l'chumra, it should say imsha. Elalav shmamina Rabbi Meir l'chumra. Therefore, they assume Rabbi Meir means l'chumra shmamina. Amar Ravinai. Ravinai now comes and gives a halacha in the name of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel. Bechalavim ubinevela ad shishem itchila ad sof bechte achila pras. When it comes to eating chalav and nevela, okay, it's going to be ad shishem itchila ad sof. Okay, he's basically paskening. Okay, bechte achila pras. But when it comes to ochlim tmeim, most people get rid of the word shkatzim or rimasim here, umashkim, so when you're talking about food that's tameh, or mashkim, liquids that are tameh, that he eats, and again, we're talking about this psul gviyah, that he's now going to be tameh, afilu kol hayom kulo bichte achila pras. Okay, it's a very unclear statement. He says, both kol hayom kulo, and he says, Bichte achila pras. This makes absolutely no sense. This is one of those cases, I'll just give you a methodologically, when you're learning this and you're trying to figure out things on your own, sometimes, you know, and you say, What could this possibly mean? Right? So sometimes you have to read on because the Gemara doesn't understand either what they mean. But if you stop right there and say, I'm not going to move on until I figure out this line means, you can sometimes get really stuck. Because the Gemara is now going to say, Maika amar. Okay, what does this mean? This makes no sense. You're saying itself and the opposite, right? Kol hayom kulo and bichtei achila pras. So amar Rav Papa hachi kamar. This is what it means according to Rav Papa. Afilu kol hayom kulo. Now remember, what's the shiur? The shiur is a chatzi pras that you need to do to become tameh, right? That's a quarter of a loaf. Okay, that's going to be more than a kizayim. So a quarter of a loaf is made up of a few kizayim. I forgot to check exactly the amount, and what I don't remember offhand what exactly the amount is, but assume it has more than one kizayim in there, that's for sure. So what does he say? He says like this, afilu kol hayom kulo. You could eat this quarter of a loaf and continually eat it throughout the day, but you're only going to be chayav v'hu she'achal kizayim b'chdei achila pras. In order to get to the chatzi loaf, you need a few kizayits, right? So, each kizayit has to be eaten within the time frame of 9 minutes in order for them to join each other to get up to this quarter loaf. If you eat that quarter loaf, we only count, and you eat it over the span of 2 hours, let's say, we only count kizayitim to get up to the chatzi pras, we only count them if the kizayit was eaten within 9 minutes. If it wasn't eaten within 9 minutes, then we don't count that as an achila that can join other achilot to get you to this quarter of a loaf shiur. Okay? That's how he understands it. So he understands, kol hayom kulo, you could still eat it, and again, not that you could, but if you did, you'd be tamei. But it's only b'tnai that each kizayit that you ate that we're counting toward this quarter of a loaf was eaten within shiur.
Which sort of means in the other direction. It means that in every 9 minutes you have to have eaten a certain amount, which is a chatzi zayit.
Not necessarily in every 9 minutes.
Within any 9 minutes that you're counting. Within any 9 minutes.
Let's say it's within 2 hours. As long as you had a few 9 minute spans where you ate kazayats and those kazayats added up to the quarter of a loaf, you'd be tameh.
Right. In any point when you're eating, over the course of 9 minutes, yes, it has to be. It's not that you're starting off with, oh, I'll eat this much and that, you know. The right way you end up figuring it is how much did I eat in the last 9 minutes?
Well, in any 9 minutes,
In any nine-minute span.
Right. You only count things that were eaten within 9 minute spans, and if they're at least a kazayit, then they'll count. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it was more than a kazayit, then you'll add that entire amount to the count to see if you got to the quarter of a zayit. I don't know who's exactly measuring. Sorry, quarter of a pras. I don't know who's exactly measuring all this and taking count and paying attention and all that, but okay. Meitive. So now we're going to have a question on this explanation of Rav Papa's. Of what Rav and I said. Kol ha'ochalim mitzdarfim lipsul ha'gviyah kebachatzi pras. So all foods are mitzaref, meaning you can have different foods be mitzaref as long as they're all tameh, in order to mess you up, basically, right? Call you a psul gviya, b'kechatzi pras. Okay, in the amount of a chatzi pras. So now, why does this contradict? Well, they assume when they mean b'kechatzi pras, they mean kechatzi pras that was eaten b'chdei achila pras. That's their assumption. So my love, the achle l'chatzi pras b'chdei achila pras, doesn't it sound like you have to eat this quarter of a loaf within the amount it would take to eat half a loaf of bread? So they say, lo, de'achal kezayi kezayi b'chdei achila pras. Now it means, as long as you ate, it's weird, because they don't even talk about b'chdei achila pras, but they assume that that's what they mean. And then they say, no, it means you ate a kezayi, each kezayi was eaten b'chdei achila pras, as we explained. Now we're going to have another contradiction, meitivei. For this, we're going to bring a very long braita with many different cases. First, we're going to read the entire braita, then we'll get back to what the problem is from the first one, and then we're going to explain each of the subsequent cases in the braita, as is typically the Gemara's style. Meitive. Kol ha'ochlim mitzdafim lipsolat ha'gviyah b'kechatzi pras b'chdei achila pras. Now here it says, eating the chatzi pras within the time frame of b'chdei achila pras. So here we're going to see, right, that's going to obviously contradict. Ketzad. Achal v'chazar v'achal, and how does this work? Now they're really explaining it. You ate, then you stopped, and then you ate again. Im yesh mitchilat achila rishona va'ad sof achila achrona. If from the time you started eating until the time you finished eating is b'chdei achila pras mitzdarfim, then they will join together. Yoter mikam, but if it spreads over a longer time period, ein mitzdarfim. This actually seems to seriously contradict Rav and I, because he can't say I'm talking about the kezayit, right? All he can say is, right? It sounds like everything has to be in b'chdei achila pras, the whole chatzi pras. Okay, we'll see in the end, I'll kind of tell you the end, just so that you don't forget this by the time we get there, but they're going to say this in fact is a tiyuvta de Rav and I, it really seems to contradict. Okay, it's hard for him to explain the source according to his opinion. Okay, or really Rav Papa's explanation of what Rav and I said. It's not really Rav and I, it's how Rav Papa explained it, because Rav Papa said that's what it means, and that's our problem. Okay, now we're going to continue, and we get to all sorts of interesting halachot here. Lo hitiru le'echol pachot mikishiur le'ered v'litbo. Yarav v'taval v'ala v'shlimo mitzdaref. They didn't allow, if somebody ate less than a shiur, okay, this psul gviyah, what happens? You become tamei not just when the food's in your mouth, but you become tamei now. You have to go to the mikvah. Let's say you ate half a shiur. You need a full shiur. And you go to the mikvah. Now, what do they say? This is very similar to what we saw yesterday about when you have less than a shiur and then you have a yediyah in the middle, the yediyah doesn't count. That's how we ended yesterday's shiur, that if you all of a sudden have a knowledge after you ate a chatzizai, it doesn't count, and the chatzizai from before and the chatzizai after actually join together. It's the same thing here. If you dunk in a mikvah, when you don't actually have a shiur of tumah on you, it's like doing nothing, right? If I go to the mikvah and I'm not tameh, so nothing happens. So if I only ate a chatzi shiur, I'm not tameh, so I went to the mikvah, nothing happened. So therefore, they didn't allow someone, they said you're forbidden to go to the mikvah if you ate, let's say, an eighth of a loaf of tameh food. They didn't allow him le'rei v'litbo. Why? Because they were worried, right, we're going to see right now, yarav v'taval v'ala, if you did anyway do it, you went against the halacha, you did it, went and you dunked, and then you came out of the mikvah, vihishlimo, and then you ate another eighth of a loaf, mitzaref. Those two eighths joined together. Why? Because you might say the tefillah broke it, but the tefillah was nothing. It was as if you did absolutely nothing, and therefore the two eighths joined together. And that's why they didn't allow people to tovel, because they thought that people would think the tefillah helped my not yet tumah, but it was almost tumah because I did eat tameh food. So you might think that. You might think that eighth got erased, and now you need another eighth, and then you think that you're not tameh. So therefore, because of that, they institute this takana that people shouldn't go to the mikvah if they haven't eaten a full shiur of tameh food.
Why would they, though?
Why would they go to the mikvah?
If they didn't eat the full shiur.
So you might think, someone might say, well, I ate some tumah food. This is like where being machmir is sometimes worse. This is a good example, right? Because you think, oh, well, I ate some tumah. You know, you just feel uncomfortable with it. But since halachically it's nothing, so you shouldn't feel, right? And then you make it worse, because now you're going to dunk, you're going to think it covered you, and then you're going to need another eighth, and then you're actually going to become tameh, but you're not going to think you're tameh.
It's very smart on a larger level, though. It teaches you not to use the mikvah lightly.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's true. Right, don't just go use the mikvah. Although I don't know why it's such a bad thing to do it. And it's here I could see why it's a bad reason. You know why it would be bad. Well, you know, there's people who go to the mikvah all the time, right? I don't know if it's necessarily viewed as a bad thing, but they're saying be careful how you do it because there could be you could come to incorrect conclusions about things by doing it. Right? I think it's actually not so much of about mikvah, but it's really a general thing about chumrah is that you have to be careful because sometimes when you're machmir, it causes you to mess up other things. You have to be careful about it. Okay, that's the second halacha in this braita. Hitiru la le'ubara. Ubara means a me'uberet. It sounds like to the fetus, but it means to a pregnant woman. Le'cho pachomi kishi'ur mipnei sakana. They allowed her to eat less than a shir because of sakana. Okay, we're going to have to see what this is when we get to the Gemara. What exactly are they talking about? Okay, we're going to, I'll hold off on it till we get there, but obviously, right, we're talking here, it sounds like the Sugya and Yoma, about a pregnant woman who has cravings on Yom Kippur, right? Can she eat? Maybe I'll already kind of get into the options here. There's, number one, okay, the obvious option is they're talking about eating tame food, right? That we allow her to eat tame food as long as it's less than a shi'ur. The problem with that shita is whoever said it's forbidden to eat tameh food, right? All we said was if somebody eats tameh food, they become impure. But is there an iser to actually become impure? First of all, for most people, impurity was irrelevant for the in a gezin. This type of impurity is only sheni. It means only if you're eating kudshim or you're eating truma, it's going to be a problem. If you're not a kohen and you're not eating, so what's the difference? So some people have an issue with that. Some people say, well, remember that we had the whole thing about the chavirim that ate b'tarat hakodesh? They were careful never to become tamei, so maybe it's within the framework of that. Okay, all these explanations, by the way, are going to be isurei de rabbanan. Okay, maybe it's that. Maybe it's some people say it actually is usher to become tamei. Some people view it that way, and some people say that maybe it's a woman who's supposed to eat truma. Okay, she's a woman who's married to a kohen, or she's a bat kohen and she's still in her father's house. Well, I guess she wouldn't be a, no. She'd have to be married here. Maybe not, but let's assume. So she's supposed to be eating truma, and that's why we don't want her to be coming tamei, but that would all be asra midrabanan. And that's one way of understanding it. We're talking about truma, which would make a lot of sense in the context, because the whole thing is talking about truma. Rabbeinu Gershon says that we're actually talking about a woman eating on Yom Kippur. Okay, and it has nothing to do with truma. It has to do with, can she eat on Yom Kippur? And then what's it coming to say? You have to eat less than a shi'ur, right? You can eat less than a shi'ur. This is what people do nowadays, right? If your doctor says you have to eat when you're pregnant, so you try, you know, depending on what your situation is. But the ideal is to eat less than a shi'ur, right? And then we'll see, what does it mean less than a shi'ur? Also, b'chdei achila pras. That's what people eat. They call b'shi'urim. They eat little amounts, less than a kazayit every 9 minutes, basically. And that's based on this.
Why would it be sakana for her to eat tamer, unless she eats tamer food? Like, why would she just eat non-tamer, you know?
So let's assume that's all that's there. Or there's this issue, again, they had this belief that, you know, if a woman has a craving and we don't give her the food, right? So first of all, we're going to get into an issue. What do you mean? If it's sakana nefashot, she should be allowed to eat anything. So this sakana seems to be a little bit different. It's if she doesn't eat it, it might lead to sakana. You know, we might endanger the baby's health if she doesn't get the food that she wants. The assumption is this is the food that's there. I assume, you know, there's no other food around or whatever it might be. Therefore, if it's Yom Kippur, then it makes more sense. Because then it's any food, right? Why would she be only eating this tummy food? But you can imagine a situation where they're in the house, that was, you know, somehow all the food became tummy and that's all they have. And, you know, it's possible. A third option is to say, and then, by the way, it's d'oraita, this halacha. It's not all the, when we said it's eating tuma, then it's all d'rabana. Another option could be it's talking about any machalat asurot. It could be eating pig or eating, you know, anything that's usur to eat, and then it's just general. Okay, so that's an interesting situation. We'll get back to this when the Gemara gets into it. Kol hamashkim mitzarfim lifsol tagviya b'rivi'it b'chdei achila pras. So now this is like the food. Okay, which is why also it makes sense here. We're going back to eating tameh food. It makes a lot more sense that the woman would be eating tameh food because why are we kind of framing it with eating tameh food, and then all of a sudden Yom Kippur in the middle? It sounds a little weird. Okay, so all the drinks that you drink, right? Just like food is mitzdare, also drinks can be mitzdare. For what shi'ur? Be rivi'i b'chdei achila pras. So it's a quarter of a log in the shiur, the time frame of k'tei achila pras. Okay, this is actually different from the regular. Generally, the halacha is that it's within drinking. The shiur for drinking is not b'chdei achila pras when it comes to all sorts of other halachot. Drinking is the amount it takes to drink a ravid, okay? Because drinking is much quicker than eating. Eating, you can slowly eat. But drinking is a ravid log and the amount of time it takes to eat a ravid log, rather than a kezayit and the amount of time it takes to eat half a loaf. But they say here, it's different because here, it's in order to become tameh, it's kind of a longer shiur, okay? And that's because, there were different answers given here. One is to say, right, because the Rambam, based on the Tosefta, says it's until you drink a ravid in general. So answers given are that for Truma Durabanan, this is for Truma Durabanan, right, so one of the answers is that here, generally, we're going to be more machmir when you're benefiting. Like, let's say you drink yein nesach, okay? Yain that a non-Jew offered as libations, or a non-Jew, nowadays we're more machmir in yein nesach. You drank that wine, so you benefited from the wine, right? The eating was what was usher. When it comes to tumah, it's not the eating that's usher. The eating makes you tameh, but it's after what you do that makes it usher. If you're tameh and then you eat truma, then it's usher. So because there's no hana'ah with the eating of the tuma food, that's not what's usher. Therefore, we're going to give a wider time frame. We're going to be more makel. That's one of the answers given. Okay. So now, ketzad, how does this work? Shata v'chazar v'shata, im yesh mitzchi l'shtia v'shona v'ad sov shtia achrona. This sounds very familiar. Like the first case, k'dei achila pras mitzterfim. Yoter mikan e mitzterfim. So again, you have to do it within the time it's going to take to eat achila pras in order to become tameh. Hutrula l'maga tameh met. Okay, if she became tameh, she came in contact with a tameh met. Okay, a woman. A woman comes in contact with a tameh met. So now she's a rishon l'tuma, which means she's mitame ochel. They hutrula. Okay, you have to read it. I didn't read it. Hutrula le magat meimet. First, the subject is a magat meimet. A woman came in contact with a meimet. How do we know it's a woman? Because it says la. They permitted her lahanig bina. Okay, they allowed her, thankfully, to nurse her son. Okay, even though she was tame meimet. Okay, and theoretically, what does that mean? It means her milk is tameh. We're going to get into that in the Gemara. How is her milk tameh? Blah, blah, blah. We'll get into that. Yet they allowed her to nurse her child and ubinat tahor. And her son does not become impure by drinking this impure milk, even though, what do we learn? If the milk is impure, if you drink impure stuff, you're going to become tameh. So we're going to have to understand, why is he not considered tameh? Okay, again, we'll get to this in the Gemara. Katani miyah. So now that's the end of the braita. So now let's go back to the beginning. Katani miyah. Im yesh mitchila achila rishon va'ad sof achila b'chdei achila pras mitzdarev. Tiyuvta d'Ravanai tiyuvta. This contradicts what Ravanai said. Again, Ravanai according to Rav Papa's interpretation. And therefore, we're left with a big question on his shita. And it seems like it's the shear of eating a quarter of a loaf within the time frame of a chatzi pras, and not that that it could be extended over a longer period of time, as long as each kezayit was eaten in a shear of k'dei achila pras. Okay, amar mar. But now we're going to go back to all these other cases. Lo itiru lo le'echol pachot mikashiur le'rei v'litbol. You're not allowed to eat less than a shiur and then go to the mikvah. My kamar. Amar of Yehuda hachi kamar. This is what it means. Echol pachot mikashiur lo itiru lo le'rei v'litbol. Here they just spell out what we already know. If you eat less than a shiur, they didn't allow him to go. And he'll come to say, "Ahani le'tfila kamaita." Right? He'll think that his first tefillah worked, and therefore he only ate an eighth of a loaf now, and he's not chayav. He's not tameh. He didn't realize that tefillah doesn't work if you're not really tameh. Katane, next thing. Katane, he tiru lalu bara lecho pachot mikashiur mipneas sakana. Mipneas sakana filu tuvanami techol. What do you mean, kishiur? Really, she can eat, right? They let her eat less than a shiur. What do you mean? If it's sakanat nefashot, you can eat any shiur you want. Amar papa hachi katane. Rav Papa says this is what it means. Hutru lalu bara pachot mikashiur Afilu tuva mipne hasakana. Okay, this line is very hard to understand. There's different interpretations of it. They allowed a pregnant woman to eat less than a shiur. Afilu tuva, right? So let me just remember the different ways they explain this. Right, it either means... So one explanation is that the rabbis allowed her, as long as she ate it within, like a... As long as she didn't eat it straight, okay? So they allowed her to eat... Right. The way they explain afilu tuva means many times. She can eat less than a shi'or many times mipnei sakana. So what does it mean, many times? It means, so the way we would understand it, this is a good case of what you know from reality, you match to what you read, and then you'd say this is what it means. So it would mean you can eat many times, as long as they're not within 9-minute intervals, less than a shi'or, right? And then this goes perfectly with our understanding that this is Yom Kippur, right? And that what we're saying is, as long as you eat less than a shiur and you spread it out over 9-minute intervals, it's fine. The problem with that explanation is what? The Gemara said, if it's sakana nefashot, she should even be able to eat more than less than a shiur. So the answer is not really a good answer, because the answer is, well, we let her eat more than a shiur, but only in 9-minute intervals. But theoretically, if it's sakana nefashot, she should be allowed to eat a full shiur within 9 minutes and there shouldn't be an issue. So it doesn't really address the question, right? It's not a good answer. The answer that some people say to that is she's different from someone who is bisakana, because she's not really bisakana, that's what I said before. She might become sakana if you don't give it to her. So it's a little bit different, and maybe that's why, but then that's what they should have said in the Gemara. It doesn't really answer the question. A different explanation is, really she's allowed to eat more, but what were they mitakein? Now here, she can actually eat a full shiur b'chdei achila pras. But because they wanted to have some sort of indicator, what they said is, they said, listen, we're going to let you eat even a shiur b'chdei achila pras, because it is sakana nefashot, but take breaks in between. Eat less than a shiur, and then less than a shiur, and then less than a shiur. I don't care if it's within 9 minutes, but as long as you made some indicator that I'm making some, because you're really doing something aser, where it's allowed to you, because it's a kind of push up, but do it a little bit differently. Okay? What's the difficulty with that explanation? Well, if you've read Ish Halacha, Sarah Salvechka has this whole passage about how the importance of when something's allowed for sakanat nefashot, right, we allow it entirely. You don't have to start doing shirim, you don't have to start doing anything, right? Don't start playing games and saying maybe, because it becomes sakana nefashot. Now, if we really view this as sakana, she should be allowed to eat regular, you know, in any and not try to keep within halachic criteria at all, you know, because really it's the most important thing is life, and therefore, so that's a little bit of a difficulty with that explanation.
But it sounds like they're giving you their take of how they view pregnancy. Because maybe pregnancy they view as sakana nefashot.
Right. Right. So again, pregnancy could be in a different category from real sakana nefashot. Exactly. Because again, it's not that, right, we're not talking about a pregnant woman who's having serious issues. We're talking about a pregnant woman who's craving a particular food and needs to eat it now. Even though you have to remember also, they viewed pregnancy as very dangerous because many women die in childbirth. So to say that they didn't really view it as sakana, but it is a bit of a different level of sakana. Mm-hmm. Okay? And especially in this case, it's not that she's really about to die or the child is in danger. It's just that we're worried she might come to a sakana situation. So that's a good reason, a good way to possibly distinguish it. Okay. I think it's a very interesting sugya. And again, the ramifications, depending on whether you explain it to Yom Kippur or whether you're talking about tumah, are obvious. Okay, next case. Katane. It says in the Braita, Hitiru lemagatame, or Hitiru la lemagatame meit, lahanike bena ubena tahor. Amai tahor. Kevan diana chalav, itmele me chalav. Right? Since he drank the chalav, he should become tame from the chalav. Wait a minute. In order for something to become tameh, food, it has to be hukshar lekabel tum'ah. Now, let's put a few things out there. In order to need to be hukshar lekabel tum'ah, it has to be food and not drink. Okay? What does it mean hukshar lekabel tum'ah? That one of the seven drinks, one of them actually is milk, comes in contact with the food. Okay? Now, what's the issue here? They view nurse milk that the mother's nursing the baby as food, because that's the main food of the child. So they call it food. Once it's food, it needs to be mukhshar lekabel tumah. And this obviously wasn't because it didn't come in contact with any liquid, right? First of all, it is a liquid and it was inside the mother's body. So how could you possibly even... in a, so now they're going to say, maybe benat tahor and yitiwa because kevan tiyanak khala, right? Since it was lo mukhshar, maybe that's why. So they say, no, it was. In its v'chitem, although it's kasher, no. Nit kasher b'tipa meluchlechet al piyadad. Meluchlechet doesn't mean dirty, it means smeared. Okay, what happens? The assumption is that some of the milk comes out and smears on her nipple. That is a liquid because the child's not going to eat that. Therefore, that liquid then, as the milk is coming out, it comes in contact with the liquid that's on her nipple. That will be mukhshir, the stuff the kabel tumah, and therefore it should be theoretically tameh. So we're left with our original question, why is it tahor? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Rabua, sheyanach b'tkifa achat. Lo iniach tipa meluchlechet al pi adad. It's talking about a child who nurses very quickly and doesn't leave anything over. Okay? There was no liquid milk left there. So Amar Rava, shei tshuva b'davar. He says, I got two problems with what you just said. Chada dekachazina lepume diyinuka demalei chalav. We see that the child has his mouth full of milk, and obviously he can't drink it all at once, or she can't drink it all at once, and some of the milk's going to obviously come out. Ve'od. And not only that, mekom chalav ma'ayanu. Okay, dekatane, it says in, I think it's actually ditnan, it says in a mission in Kalim, okay, chalav is considered like a ma'ayan, and which means, okay, there's things that flow out of people's bodies, like blood that's tameh, right? So there's things that are tameh that are considered flow out of your body. Those have a different category, and they don't need to be mukhshar lekabel tumah. They're at a much more stringent level of tumah, which again leads us back to our question. Once we say it's a mayan, the child should become tameh. And he's not, and we have to figure that out. So it says in the Mishnah, chalav isha metameh, bein leratzon, bein shelo leratzon. Behema ina metameh, ela leratzon. Okay, let's start from the end. Milk from an animal is not metameh unless, now in order for something to be mukhshar lekabel tumah, what has to happen? This is in Machshirin. This is a Mishnah Machshirin, not in Kalim. I looked at the wrong thing. It's a Mishnah Machshirin. It's talking about something Machshir lekabel tumah. In order for something to be a liquid, that if you remember, ki yutan, ki yitain, it has to be on purpose. You wanted it to be there. So milk of an animal, it's only metame if you wanted the milk to be there. It only is Machshir lekabel tumah. But milk of a woman is metame whether the child wanted to drink the milk or didn't want to drink the milk, no matter what, the milk is considered an entity. Okay? So, my love, shalol ratzon, how do they understand the shalol ratzon? Delo nichale. In other words, shalol ratzon would mean that the child didn't want the milk. This is, by the way, really fascinating. Why? Because it's showing that a child's da'at is significant. We never consider a child's ratzon. And here, we're talking about an infant who's nursing, whether they want the milk or don't want the milk. Now, they're saying it doesn't matter. Okay, they are saying it doesn't matter, but we'll see later that maybe it does. V'katane mitame, and it says it's mitame. So what do you see? It's like a ma'ayan. And it's the strongest level of tumah. So, Elam, a rabbi, he gives a different answer. So we're still looking for an answer. Why is the child not tame? Hainu tama dimenat tahor, disafek yanak kishior v'safek lo yanak. We don't know how much the child drank, right? This is always classic. In a mother nursing, you never know how much your kid's drinking. We have no idea. Maybe he didn't drink a shiur. The intent to lomar yanak, and even if he did, right, how long does it take to nurse a child? It could be a long time. Safek yanko b'chdei achila pras. Safek yanko b'yoter b'chdei achila pras. We don't know how long the child ate that shiur. So that's why he's not tamei. So now we're going to go back and question something Rava said. Ulurava makom chalav mayan. Who really? It's considered like a mayan. The lo tzarich hechsher, and it doesn't need to be mukhshar lekabel tumah. Vehatnan haisha shanatav chalav midadeha v'nafal la'avir tanur. An interesting situation. Okay, she has milk falling out of her breast, and it falls into the airspace of a tanur. Okay, remember klicheres, the airspace is metame, tanur tame. Okay, the tanur is tame, and what do you see here? Right, it. So we're going to see here now, v'kashelan, and they asked a question about this Mishnah, b'may itkasher. In what way was it mukhshar lekabel tumah? Ba'amar Rabbi Yehuda, b'tipam aluchlechet al piyadad. I'm sorry, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'tipam aluchlechet al piyadad. He said it got hechsher from the milk that got stuck on her breast. So now, what do we see on her nipple? So what do we see? We see here that you need mukhshar lekabel tumah. It's not a din of a mayan that doesn't need. And if you want to say, maybe they know like Rabbi Yochanan, Bahatanya, it says in a Braita that it's really not treated like a Mayan. Here we have a Braita that distinguishes between different things. Okay, there's nine mashkim that we're going to talk about here. Bezov, okay, nezav. Hazeah v'lechas rucha v're'ei tehorim. Sweat, disgusting liquids that come out of their body, and liquid stools are all tehorim because those aren't considered mashkim, right, thankfully, okay? Tehorim mikulam, okay, they're the most tahor, meaning they are not matami. Dimat eino, okay, liquid tears. Dam magefato, if he has blood from a wound, bichalav isha, and breast milk, mitamim tumat mashkin birevi. Okay, they're mitami regular tumat mashkin, which means they're not like a mayan, because the mayan is the last category. Roko, zovo, umeme raglav, but the spit, his saliva, his the discharge that's coming out of his body, and his urine is mitame tuma chamura b'kol shehu. That's mitame even b'kol shehu, doesn't need a shiur, and it doesn't need to be makabal tuma. So v'i amar makom chalav ma'ayan, chalav nami nitmach tuma chamura b'kol shehu kizovo v'roko. And therefore, elashma mina makom chalav isha lam ma'ayan hu. So therefore, they go against Rabbi, and they say, Rabbi, how can you say it's a ma'ayan? It seems clear from this brayta that it's not treated like a ma'ayan, and it would need hukshar l'kabel tuma. So then they say, well, ihachi, if you explain that way, then kashya hamatnita. Then our Mishnah, the brayta that he, or the Mishnah that he brought about, bein l'ratzon, bein shelo ratzon, right, where what his whole proof was, when he says bein l'ratzon, bein shelo ratzon, means even if the child didn't want the milk, we're still going to say it's tamei. He therefore said it's like a mayan, and this seems to say it's not like a mayan. So if we take, forget about Rava, those two sources now seem to contradict each other, forgetting about Rava's interpretation. So how are we going to explain that? So we're obviously going to have to explain what bein l'ratzon, bein shelo l'ratzon means a little bit differently. So I'm a Rava, mitame bein l'ratzon, bein shelo l'ratzon, right? And then how are we going to explain that? So mi savar shelo l'ratzon de amar de lo nichale. No, it's not that the child said, I don't want the milk. My shelo l'ratzon de amar de date de tino kreva l'gabe chalav, aval amar lo nichale tahur. The assumption is, okay, what they understood, shalom l'ratzon means that, this is even more interesting about dad of a tinok. They assume that a tinok always wants chalav, okay? But if the tinok specifically says, I don't want this, now you have to wonder, right, what they're talking about. So first of all, I'm sure they nurse children older ages, okay? But still not older ages, like ages of dad, of age 12 or 13. Anyway, they say here, if this child specifically said lo nichale, then it's going to be tahor. But otherwise, we're going to consider it tameh. Okay? Achalo chalim tmeim. Lama li shehiya. Okay, now we go back to this eating tmeim. So what do we need the shehiya for? Bekatane. One second. We're going back to the kohen who eats who drinks the revi yayin. So now it says, Lama lishiya de katane bishaha. When it says bishaha, shouldn't you be chayav even if he didn't wait in between? So I'm Rav Yehuda hachi katane. Achal ochalin tmeim, vishata mashkim tmeim, vishata revi'it yayin, vishahab achilatan ushtiatan, kedei shi'ur achilat pras, v'nechas amitash chayav. The question, I didn't explain properly. The question was, they thought that it meant he drank the wine and then he went into the mikdash and waited in the mikdash a shiur of kedei achilat pras. So they say, what's the difference if he's drunk and he goes and he waits in the mikdash, or he's drunk and he doesn't wait in the mikdash very long? Once he goes into the mikdash, he should be chayav just for walking into the mikdash. Now one can make an argument, maybe if you're drunk, you're only chayav if you actually stay in there. Maybe. You know, enough time to actually do something wrong, or I don't know. But they say, no. What it really means is you're eating. The eating had to have been that it was within a shear of kedei achilat pras. Okay, Rabbi Elazar amar. Oh, man. So remember what Rabbi Elazar said? He said, im pasakba, right? If he took a break in the middle, he didn't drink it all in one shot. Oh, im natamba, mayim koshu pasu. So Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to have three drashot on yayin v'shechar al tesh. Why does it say yayin and shechar? Yachol afilu, this is where it says that a kohen can't drink and go into the mikdash. Yachol afilu kol shehu, afilu migito, you might have thought even any amount he's not allowed to drink, or even yayin migito, that's yayin that's not fermented, meaning it doesn't actually make you drunk. Tamud lamar, like a nazir, for example, right? It's chayav for any wine he drinks, even if it doesn't make him drunk. Tamud lamar v'shechar, you need shechar to teach you, ein asor ela kedei l'shaker. It has to actually get you drunk. Bekama kedei l'shaker, how much is that? Revi yayin ben arbeim yom. Okay, it's a certain amount, and it's yayin that was fermented for a certain amount of time, 40 days. Im ke matzav lomar yayin, so then why didn't it just say shechar? Why does it say yayin? Lomar lecha shemuzarim alav bekoshu umuzarim alav migito. To teach you that even though it's not, you get death penalty if you go in drunk, but you get a lota, and it's less serious, but it's still usher to go in with having drunk any amount of wine, and even if it doesn't get you drunk. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yayin, Ein Liela Yayin, Shar Meshakrim Minayin. How do we know anything else that gets you drunk and not just wine like the Nazir? Talmud Lomar Vishechar, because it says Shechar, it teaches you other drinks that also get you drunk. Imken, like beer, for example. Imken Matam Lomar Yayin, Ala Yayin Bimitav Al Shar Mashkim Ba'asara. There's a difference in, right, you're going to get death for wine. Other things just, you know, it's us. Rabbi Lazar Omer Yayin Al Tesht Vishechar. V'shechar, al tishteu kederech shikruto. Don't drink it the way people get drunk. That's by saying all in one shot. Ha'im ipsikbo, this matches what he said in the Mishnah, o natan l'tocho mayim koshu, if you want to get drunk, you don't dilute your wine. Okay, someone who dilutes his wine isn't getting drunk, then isn't drinking the way a drunk person drinks, patur. So now they say b'may plige, what's the root of their machloket? Tanakama savar gamrinan shechar shechar minazir. And therefore he holds that it's all the way a Nazir is, and it's only Yayin. Rabbi Yehuda lo yalav shechar shechar minazir. He doesn't, therefore he says it's both Yayin and shechar. Rabbi Lazar savar, my shechar mididu mishakir. Okay, he says shechar has to be something that gets you drunk, and the way you get drunk. Keman az lahadatanya, according to does the following source go, achal dvelaki ilit v'shata dvash or chalav v'nichnas l'mikdash. There's other things that get you drunk besides wine. You could eat these dates that are pressed dates that could get you drunk, or honey, or wine, right? Where do we see that? Sisra, if you remember, right? Where the Yael got, what?
Milk.
Oh, I said wine. I meant milk, right? Where the milk got him drunk. V'nichnas l'mikdash v'shimesh lokeh. How do you know you get malkot on it? Kiman ki Rabbi Yehuda. This must go like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, you said anything that gets you drunk. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Hotai, halachat Rabbi Elazar, v'kare le'ale de Rabbi Elazar, tuvina dechakime. They say he's the most gratified of the chachamim. That was a way of remembering that we paskin like him, right? If they paskin like you, they, you know, people feel good. Okay, Rav Acha de Hutzel have a nidra ale de bitu. He had a neder of his wife upon him. We actually saw this story in the past. He had a neder of his wife upon him, meaning he swore off of his wife. Okay, so I'm not going to get hana from her, right? They got into a big fight, swore off his wife, and then what happens? He goes to the chacham lahatir nidro, because he wants to be married to her, otherwise he has to divorce her. On to the kamedra of Ashi. So he goes before Avashi. Amar le, zil ha'ina v'talam b'char. Avashi says, go away and come back tomorrow. Because Rav would never give a drasha in the Beit Midrash when he was drunk. Okay, the day after, you know, on the Yom Tov, because he was drunk, right? And therefore, I'm not going to give you an answer because I drank some wine. Amar le, v'ham Rav halachak Rabbi Elazar, umar hu dekarami be'maya. But don't we pass on like Rabbi Elazar that if you put a little wine, water in it, it's fine. And and I know that you're the guy who puts water in his wine. You never drink a lot. Amar le, you have to see, by the way, he probably wasn't so drunk, otherwise he probably wouldn't have realized that he was drunk enough to say, I can't paskin for you. Amar le, halo kashya, habi rivi'it, habi yoter michde rivi'it. Now we learn that it's not exactly true that if you add some water, it depends how much you're drinking. If you're drinking a rivi'it and you add some water, then it's fine. But if you're drinking more than a rivi'it, and altogether you have a lot of wine, even if it's diluted wine, still, that's going to be a problem. And therefore he's saying, I drank more. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll end off with this easy brayta tomorrow about the psukim where it talks about Yayin v'shechar al tesh, and then it starts in the next psuk. It says u'lavdil ben hakodesh u'ben hachol, and it says all these other things that we're going to darshan. What can't you do when you're drunk? What are the following things? And they make kind of boundaries. This is allowed. This isn't allowed. What types of learning you can do? What types of teaching you can do if you're drunk? Which is a very interesting discussion. Anyway, we'll get to that tomorrow.